So what did we talk last week? Essence, function, goal. Did anyone walk away with any understandings, any awakenings, more questions, less questions?
It's a deep one.
It's a deep one.
I thought it was really cool because you said if you place like your goal for it. So I was trying to mull over like what my goal for my life is. He said if you put that goal like something external, get that, want something, that'll keep changing. You know, like make it hard to feel like you're moving in a wise direction. But if you set like a will, something that doesn't change and is wise, gives more foundation. So that was cool. So I spent like a lot of time this week mulling that over.
Did you set one?
I tried setting one and then I wrote it down and then I picked it apart. So I started picking it apart again.
Can I clap that? Okay. That's something that G actually posted a long time ago, to actually write down. Remember you wrote down like what's the direction for your heart? And then you said you read back at it and it was a good exercise to practice.
What's the exercise?
You read this big thing of philosophy that talks about three eternal Dharma truths, I think.
Is the fast way and the slow way? Is that the one?
Yeah,
it was the three eternal Dharma truths, and then it talks about creating a will that you want to live in that matches that, what you're looking for your life, basically. And then you come back and read it a year later or whatever and see if you've... your awareness has changed and your angle for that, you're like, ooh, I can add more detail. Or actually, that was completely wrong. You don't want that at all, Sean. You're an idiot. You can spank yourself a bit. It's cool. It's a really cool doc, actually. Chris has been coming for a while now and we haven't done any of the foundation wisdom for him. We've been just throwing new stuff at him and making him listen to other people's stuff. So
Foundation
wisdom. Everyone can pick their favourite foundation wisdom and Chris is going to choose his own adventure at the end of it.
Should we be like, if there was only one wisdom you could walk out of here with, what would it be? There's hundreds on the blog. There's like 600 different
philosophies on the blog.
All of them can help you become Buddha. So, you know, you don't need all 600. They all lead to the same place, but there might be one that shines stronger for you. So,
because every heart learns for different reasons and every heart learns differently. So the motivation is different and the way they learn is different. So to say it should always be the same for every life, that's not convenient wisdom. Convenient wisdom is to have enough angles to explain wisdom to connect to every life in the order that suits them. So whatever order you guys first started understanding wisdom might open up a path for him. So who wants to go first? Favorite, well, the first wisdom that made sense to your heart to make you realise, oh, okay, this is something I need to learn.
Well, so I remember like the three eternal Dharma truths and like that kind of, I don't know, giving me some kind of, I don't know, understanding that there's like more understanding to life than what I think I was aware of at the time, but I can't recall like specifically how that helped, so I don't know if that's...
So that's the first one that touched your heart and made you wake up and go, oh, okay, there's a lot to learn.
Yeah.
Okay, three eternal Dharma truths. Okay, nice. Did you hear that? Three eternal Dharma truths. You can, does that, well, he doesn't look that excited. We'll come back.
We can send you some links. Required reading for next week. Recommended.
Okay, anyone else?
The first one that hit home was, you are not your experience.
You are not your experience.
Yeah. And it made me think back to care without negative emotion, and all the appearing form is constantly changing.
You are not your experience made you think of all the appearing form is constantly changing.
Yeah.
And
care without negative emotion.
So how did your life change from before that sentence to after that sentence?
Before that, I took like whatever I experienced as like true and what was happening, and I was stuck in that. Like, I had a bad experience, have a bad day.
So it's mostly a negative one, though.
Yeah. And then Sifu explained that philosophy, and it made it really clear that you're not your experience. You're not trapped in that. That'll change. So you're free to be away from that. So I was trapped in trying to show a lot of care with all the negative experience from the past. So the more I tried to care, show care, the worse it was. And I felt really trapped in that. So hearing that philosophy kind of like chilled me right out. And yeah, it's great.
Some freedom. Yeah. Right there. Nice. because you bring that one up a lot. That's one you've definitely mentioned over the years. So I definitely, yeah. I'd ask him about that one as well, Chris. That one's close to his heart.
Hacho.
Hold Nothing was the first thing that started to wake in my heart. It's like I could relate to that. And then, but what first challenged me was illusion. Life is illusion. Everything's illusion. I was like, what do you mean? I can see it. It's there. It's like, so when I didn't understand that, but when I start to understand it and realize there's nothing to take seriously, it's all changing, it's all illusion. Yeah, and then learn to let go and hold nothing. So that was the philosophy that first started, I could relate to, touch my heart.
Nice.
So that's from a position of take everything really seriously, and that helped kind of relax that back down to feel more free. Is that the...
Yeah, because I think I was struggling with emotional thinking. So when you learn to just let go, I was like, oh, just let it go.
I can let go of this.
Yeah, so that was good.
Nice, awesome.
Okay, so that's Life is Illusion is the foundation one into why there's nothing to hold. Valerie's deep in thought.
There was two, I guess. The first one was causation, so just knowing that, you know, it's not random and cause and effect, that brought me to want to learn more, I guess, about Buddhism. The first philosophy that, I guess, touched or had a home was the Four Noble Truths.
Four Noble Truths.
Yeah.
And causation and Four Noble Truths.
Yeah.
And Maren.
There's a couple. I'm just trying to think of what would be the best one. I guess the six Bodhisattva characters was one of the first ones because... I think it was probably because it was one of the first philosophies I learned, and when I found myself being having a bad mood and sharing that bad mood with others, I found that, like, if I try to align my behavior with those characteristics, just even starting with, you know, generosity and discipline, I was able to change my mood more, or change how I felt and change how others felt around me. So I was able to help myself and other people. So I was like, it's pretty cool. So it's always a nice one to go back to.
Did you want to give one as well?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay.
It's a simple one, but it's like it's still one I go back to very often. To reduce tension, create space. This can apply mentally, physically, emotionally, psychologically. Basically, any way you can create tension, you can also create space. But that wisdom itself, I wondered why my life was so intense. And I was like, well, I create the stress. But I can also release that stress if I take the time to release it. So yeah, that was one that really, I think, helped create space to observe.
Mine would probably be desire. Actually being told what desire is, how it works, you're lost in it. It's really helpful. It was like a direct like punch to make me realize, oh, you're explaining life. I get it. There's like a power of wanting that I am definitely trapped in. Cool. So yeah, understanding desire was like, for the first time ever, being told that you're a fish and you live in water. I was like, I want stuff. That's true. I do want stuff. That was the beginning to make me go, oh, explaining life. I'm a part of life, but every life has want. Tim, do you want stuff?
All the time.
Cool. Okay. This explains for both of us. Does anyone not want stuff? Okay, so we're all covered in wanting stuff. That's great. So we can all learn from desire. I thought that was really cool. Yeah. Yeah. Did you have one?
Yeah. I'll go for cause and effect. So cause and effect is a system that we exist in, and it the way cause and effects work is it's not a relationship of one to one, but it's actually many to many. So it's not like there's one cause that then creates one effect. It's always a relationship of many to many. And so, because of that, if you were to drop like a rock in the water, the way the ripples would go out isn't just one direction, right? They ripple out in all directions. That's a similar thing with cause and effect. You might think you're just doing one little thing, but it actually has like a ripple effect to create ongoing cause and effect. So, because of that, every chance that you're existing in is a chance to guide that new cause and effect that you're creating. Yeah, it's actually a joyful feeling that you, once you understand, and that you're like, oh, so I can actually guide the cause and effect I'm creating to have the effect that I want to receive. So finally you feel like, oh, I've got a chance to actually guide my life rather than just experience it from whatever bad choice after bad choice or mistake after mistake or whatever it might be. So yeah, that was like a really nice feeling, like, oh, I can actually control a little bit of the outcomes that I've created rather than just continue to suffer or whatever.
So Giant Dog was cause and effect, which married up to Valerie was cause and effect and
Four Noble Truths,
which is another philosophy on top of that. Brooke was
Three Eternal Dharma Truths.
Softshell was you are not your experience. Hardshell was
Life is illusion
and hold nothing.
Mine was
create space. Mine was the like power of desire. Marin's was 6 Bodhisattva characters. There's no right or wrong answer. You want that? Cause and effect.
Jenny wins.
Cause and effect. Why do you want to hear that one?
Because I do things all the time.
I'm always doing stuff.
It's nice to just sort of like to sort of put it into like an explanation. Like, you know, or no, it's just sort of it helps. Maybe it will help me combat that in my life. Because you got the one rock and then all the ripples go out in different directions, you know. It speaks to me on so many levels.
Cause and effect. Great one. Who wants to have a go at explaining cause and effect?
The other part that I left out of that, which I just remembered, which I was going to say as well, is that because it's a relationship of many to many, then where there's no one to kick it off. So therefore, that immediately shows that it's illusion as well.
Ooh.
If everything is a combination of everything else, then there's no one that said, okay, go everything else, and then start doing everything. No, it's always the same system.
Because even with the rock dropping into the water, the rock wasn't the cause. The person picking up the rock was where it started. And why did they pick up that rock? Because GD told him, pick the rock up and drop it. You know, there's a path that's... We've been existing in this cause and effect system our whole life and never stopped to observe it and go, oh, that's how it's happening.
Oh, right, so yeah, it starts before that. Yeah.
Well, it never started because it was always that way. That's the mind bend. You're like, where did it start? You're like, well, where does a circle begin? You know, this is a circle. You can't say the circle starts here and ends there. It's an eternal system. So causation and cause and effect is also that eternal system. So like a circle has no beginning and no end, causation has no beginning, no end. And you can argue that all matter, you can trace cause and effect back to when the Big Bang went. But what black hole pulled all that energy into it to compress it down to create that Big Bang? Just because we can't see the cause and effect that led to that moment, we blindly think that's where it started. But that's not how it works. That's just where we can observe it till. And everything that happened before what we can observe, we call that karma. So when we can't see the cause and effect, it's called karma. But when we can see where the cause and effect pattern ran, we call that causation. And there are four main parts to causation. Can anyone help Chris understand it? Because he's dying to know. Look at him. He's lying there frothing. Look at him chomping at the bit to find out the four categories of causation. Does anyone want to help him out?
Main cause. You're the main cause.
Yeah.
Main cause?
What's the main cause?
Yourself.
What about it? Is it Tim's leg hair? Is Tim's leg hair the main cause?
It's thick.
Your intention.
Because when he says you can refer to intention, thinking, speaking, action. There are many different parts to us. But we're referring to a particular part that's the main cause. That's our own intention.
So the first of category is called main cause intention. And it's the intention to do something.
You can come to this class, but if your intention is to learn nothing, then we can be sure that you won't learn anything. You can come in here, you can sit down, you can fake smile, but you'll learn nothing. By the opposite, you come in here with the intention to learn something, you have a chance. Not guaranteed. Not guaranteed. We make no promises about this class.
But no refunds. No refunds.
But you come in with the intention to learn, that gives you a chance. But you don't even have that part inside, then causation is not really in your favour at that point.
So you can act, you can turn up to the class, which is action. You're actually acting out the part. You can turn, you can sit there, but if the intention to understand and learn isn't there, you won't. You can sit here and you won't catch anything. We've had it happen before. Mm. I was here for a year, I didn't learn anything. It took me a year to find the on button. Oh, pay attention and listen, got it. So intention, main cause intention. And you get the same thing with people, they go, I want to go to the gym. They might not act on it, but they have the intention, I want to go to the gym. And it starts there. It might be a year later that they actually go and walk into a gym for the first time. But the intention appeared to create more and more passion to make that action appear. Usually this is the way it runs. We'll have an intention, we'll think or speak about it. Tim, I want to go to the gym.
Oh, you want to go to the gym? That's a great idea. You should probably go.
Yeah. So for me to say that, I've had an intention. I wouldn't turn around and go, Tim, I'm going to go to the gym. If
where
I hadn't,
come from?
Yeah, if I hadn't thought about or felt like going to the gym or maybe feeling like I need to be more healthy, you know, an intention appeared, a desire to get healthy maybe. And then I spoke about it.
Mm.
And once I've said it and thought about it enough, I'll act on it. So intention, thinking and speaking, and action. That's how we involve in cause and effect. Usually it's in that order. We'll have an intention to do something, we'll think or speak about it, and then we'll act on it. Some people think and speak at the same time and make all kinds of mistakes. And some people act without thinking or observing, but the intention still appeared or they won't act. So yeah, it's usually that way, but it can chop and change.
What else I can throw in there is that it describes the relationship from inside to outside. So we use that a lot in Buddhism because we're trying to work out what's going on inside, and the way we do that is work backwards from outside. So we look at our speaking and action to go back to how we think and what our intention is. So you're really rude to everyone on the outside. That says something about on the inside. I met with a guy today who was like pretty rude to everyone in the meeting. I was like, oh, I have a phone call, and then took the call in the room, walked outside, and then walked back in and kept talking and sat down. And I was like, are you finished with the call? And he's like, sorry, did I disturb the meeting? I said, well, of course you did. And at that moment, he's like, oh, sorry. Now, I know he's not really that sorry, but at that moment, what do I know about his intention from his actions? What's most important to him?
Himself.
Right. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to work that out. The most important thing for him at that moment is himself. Whereas other people would never do that. The most important thing might be not to disturb others. So they have a different intention at that moment. So it's like a way we can use that sequence to observe something.
Who's going to let him in on the second of the... Mirror!
Main supporting cause.
Can you explain what that is for all the people at home?
My main supporting cause for coming here would be you three all teaching it. So, I mean, even if I wanted to learn, I had the intention to learn, it wouldn't happen if I didn't have anyone to teach me. So and it wouldn't happen if there were no other people here who were like to make up a class, or if we didn't have the space. So, and we did not collaborate on it. So that's, I guess, the main supporting cause for this.
Cool.
I could even say the biggest supporting cause is Sifu ever teaching any of us. Because the only way this wisdom can spread and grow is if someone learns it, becomes aware of it, and then shares it. Yeah, so the main supporting cause for us to do anything, so I can have the intention to teach. So for me, the intention to teach philosophy or teach Qigong is there. But without people to learn it, I'm just sitting in the mirror and like, hey, do a better shot. Can't be a teacher if there's no students. Students can't learn if there's no teacher. So in every situation you have in life, you go to work, your intention is to work for your job for money. But their intention is to pay someone to do that job. So you support them by being what they need, and they support you by paying for you to do your job. Make sense? In everything in life, there's that. And I was asking Sifu, because we had someone come here, and in class they asked a pretty good question. They were like, All right. So, say I just go down to the ocean, jump in the water, no one else around. Where's the main supporting cause in that? This was a good question. This is why I took it to Sifu. I was like, not sure.
Whatever happened in his past to make him, like, enjoy being in the ocean, whether it was, like, parents taking him down when he was a kid or friends or whatever it was or any sort of media or something like that.
They're all great. Oh, Brooke, you're in. This is sports of interest.
I was going to say the ocean. but in this example it's like the main supporting cause is like it's the subject, it's not like another life, but it's the thing that enables that supports the main intention.
It's great. This is great.
Going deeper, like subconscious level is karma. You went there and got ate by a shark, you could just say, you know, supporting cause is his karma that got him to that point.
But isn't our intention fueled by karma? So wouldn't that be part of his main cause?
To clarify, we have to make it really clear and simple, and it comes with defining it. Can main supporting cause be just an object, a material? Does it have to be another life form? That's the question, because Brooke's answer was the ocean is the main supporting cause.
No ocean, you can't swim.
No ocean, can't swim. That's what makes sense. But if you're defining main supporting cause as something that has an intention, that's where I was like, ooh, main supporting cause has to have an intention, so it has to be another life. So Sivu chopped apart and said no. But you could go back and say the main supporting cause was whoever taught them how to swim. Otherwise, they wouldn't have the intention to go for a swim. But Sivu also said the ocean is the main supporting cause. And I was like, yeah, but it doesn't have an intention. He was like, but every life that lives in that ocean creates that ocean. And every life that lives on Earth influences Earth. All the consciousness together create that space. So main supporting cause is the ocean and whoever taught him how to swim and all the other life that created that ocean. We got way off topic.
It's kind of interesting. It comes back to what GD said as well. It's like that there's no like single cause there.
Yeah.
So it's like whenever you're observing something and like, oh man, there's no way to solve this. You're like, well, you kind of got to broaden that view a bit and go, well, actually, there's many different little pieces to it. Mm. And I think that's something I learned from GD a lot, is that to enjoy that observing process.
Yeah.
It's like when we're stressed, we're like, oh, it doesn't make any sense. But you expand a little bit and you're like, actually, there's the ocean, there's all the life form, there's the people that sell them the board shorts, there's a piece of the, you know, all the different connections.
Sun cream vendors.
Yeah, exactly. There are many different things involved in that, you know. Ah, cool.
So, main cause, anything that supports that intention. What's the third one?
Timing.
Do you want to explain it? Chris is dying to know what that means.
First way Sean P explained this one to me was the intention to learn philosophy. So main intention was wanting to learn philosophy, and main supporting cause was Sifu sharing the philosophy. But if I wasn't living in Australia or in Sydney, for whatever reason, if I was still like back home in country New South Wales, I couldn't learn that. Or if Sifu was in a different country, still couldn't learn.
Born 100 years earlier.
Yeah.
Sorry.
If you were a toddler, be like, I want to learn Majua! Can't skip and learn.
Yeah, the timing has to be right for you to like be able to understand it and learn and develop, for someone to be able to teach, be in that space at the same time. So, yeah, is that?
Yeah, so the location one, I wouldn't put it as much, but I'd say, say you met Sifu when he was still autistic. He was autistic, he couldn't speak. You can't learn from him then. Or say you met him when you're already old and got dementia. Can't learn from him then. Or if you meet him when you've got kids and you just don't have the time off. Or you meet him and you've like kind of already been introduced to a different type of Buddhism where the cult leader, you know, tried to steal your bank account or something. You know, like you have a totally different... If you go back and look at your whole life and you change anything, the way it'll all run will be totally different. So for the main cause, your intention, and the supporting cause to be in the same place at the same time, that's timing. And you can take it as simply as just Wednesday. Are you free Wednesday? Sweet, we've got a class. Bang, you can come. If I go, you're free Wednesday, and you go, nah, I have full-time commitments I can't get out of, you're like, yeah, you're going to miss Wednesday. Timing.
Timing's also really important, because if we don't understand that the system has a timing to it, it also creates a lot of suffering for ourselves. So, like, if we're not aware of that system and we always find ourselves getting frustrated, it's because of the system moves at a certain timing that we're not allowing for. And so like, say, for example, you were in the line of shopping and it was taking ages and you had to go and do something afterwards, so you're super rushed about it, you'll start to get frustrated. But if you see the causation that's coming, like, I'm in a line, Is there any other lines that I can jump to? No. Okay, I'm going to have to be in this line for a little while. Hey, maybe if I'm in this line, it, you know, creates the opportunity for me to meet someone as I walk out because I waited just that little bit longer. So, like, by even observing in that moment where you could have frustration due to the timing of the line taking too long, it could be creating the setup for something else in the future. Or even the ability in that moment as you're standing in the line to, oh, I might just observe philosophy for a moment, rather than being in the zone of frustration and, like, yeah, wanting to be out of the situation or whatever. So the timing, if you... The art is to learn to appreciate it, and that's the challenge, but also the art and where a lot of joy can appear too.
Yeah.
It's actually like the Taoism style, it's learning to appreciate the process or the path that you're on, rather than just being angry in every present.
The angry in every present philosophy.
Was it big city, inner city pressure? Inner city
pressure? Yeah, because the universe has a system and it's running. It doesn't care what you want. So I can go and buy cool new snowboarding gear and winter clothes and be like, can't wait for winter, I'm going to wear my new gear. And then the universe don't give a shit. It's just like, you're waiting till we are the exact right amount of space from the sun to get your cold temperature, Sean, in Australia, in a drought, having bushfires. You're an idiot for buying snowboarding gear and expecting to be able to wear it anytime soon. You know what I mean? The universe doesn't care what you want. The universe has a system. Life has a system. And that system takes a certain timing. You can rock up here and go, sweet, I'm going to learn Qigong, I'm going to get it done, I'll be done. It's, you know, time frame, how long does it take to learn Qigong, Tim?
45 minutes.
45 minutes, cool. Okay, let's go. Ready? Go. Done. Bang. Right? That intention will never learn fast. It'll never learn deep. It'll never progress. The heart that rocks up timelessly and goes, okay, I'm going to be patient, take my time, learn this properly, boom. That heart slowly builds momentum and moves faster and faster and progresses and progresses. But I've had people rock up to sessions and be like, okay, we're going to start now. Okay, cool. Yep, 1 minute late. Let's go. We're 1 minute late. Can we go over by 1 minute? You're like, sure. Like, you really in that 1 minute with you, with that attitude, you're going to learn terribly. They're like, oh, 1 minute, oh, quick, okay, what's the first move? Is this right? That's right, okay. Like, that person doesn't learn, you know? So that person can learn for 10 hours, they will go so slow, compared to the person who rocks up a few minutes late. Oh, sweet, I was late, so I did some stretching. Yeah, cool, you know? All right, well, I've been practicing this. Is this correct? You know? They're slow, they're patient, they're taking in all the detail, versus someone who's like, all right, so I'm here, and now what? And their center's all out, sticking their bum out. What's the next move? And you're like, you're actually not doing that one right. And they're like, yeah, oh, all right, okay, now what? You know, they're not actually patient to feel and take it in. So timing is important. The way GD said that is like, if you're aware of the timing and you can see the whole timing, you don't get stressed out, you just chill with it. But if you're always in your own hurry, like, oh, I've got to get this done really fast, time's important, you're actually not aware of that life timing, system timing. Everything has a natural rhythm and natural flow. If you can enjoy that, you'll enjoy the process a lot more. So timing is the third component of causation. Do you want to try and recap them? It's a hard one to guess, because if you think about it, if I asked you, explain to me cause and effect from the beginning, you would have been like, one thing causes something else to happen, right? The human brain really doesn't observe things much deeper than that. For any of us to think more deeply than that is already pretty impressive. But to then have someone go, well, it's actually you have an intention. So you have an intention and that creates the beginning of cause and effect. Because I can have the intention to, well, I want to stop global warming. That's my intention.
You should make a podcast. That'll do it.
Oh, actually, on Saturday.
That's all you really need to do. Awareness.
Awareness around global warming, yeah. Podcast.
No, but on Saturday, there's, you know, the Fight to Save the Bite?
Yeah.
The charity thing. They're doing a massive paddle out on the beach at 12 o'clock.
Care about
the ocean.
The beach
on the beach at
12
o'clock on Saturday.
I
actually donate to that charity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you feel like donating
your
time to something,
good plug.
Fair enough. Good plug. Olaf,
can you just put the link at the bottom of the podcast? Thanks.
All right. We've got a GoFundMe account.
Green
sunscreen. Yeah. Okay, but. No, so just to give you an idea, so if I have a weird intention, like I want to stop global warming, right? it's a little bit big for me, right? So, but even by having that intention, I can create a lot of stress and suffering for myself because it's too much for me to take on. It's not realistic. But people have intentions like that all the time, you know? They have like a really blind intention to do something crazy, and that's where all the suffering comes from. So when you look at cause and effect, any suffering that I experience because of global warming, I've created by having that intention to stop it. Already I've created so much suffering. I haven't even done anything. Just that intention, I've just shot myself in the foot, right? So intention, main cause. That's why it starts there, because everything starts there. That's where we can control causation from. So by having the intention to understand causation, we're already giving ourselves hope. If I can understand cause and effect and learn to observe my intention, thinking, speaking, action, I can guide causation, like what Vince said at the beginning. If you can understand cause and effect, you have a chance to guide it. But if you never understand it, you're a slave to it forever, and you'll never be able to break the pattern, because it's a code that we just don't sit and observe and understand. It's only because someone took the time to actually explain it perfectly, and then someone explained it to us, and they told their friends, and they told two friends, and they told two friends, and so on, and so on. For 2,000 years, 2,500 years ago, someone explained this wisdom, and the students wrote it down. And now we're lucky enough to listen to it, hear it. That's amazing. And you look at how many supporting causes existed from that one consciousness to have explained it, for then it to be shared and shared and shared throughout time for us to be talking about it today. Amazing. And observe the intention to actually learn is there. Because if we're not really trying to learn and concentrate, it can become something we don't respect fully or we don't value properly. And that's why we put the grading system, because without Sifu around to actually chop people up and go, that's blind, you're not valuing philosophy or you're not valuing discipline or whatever, someone with that higher awareness to chop down trees and make it clear, we are blindly running the risk of disrespecting something we say we value. We say that is most important, but then we act silly when it's being spoken or we don't value it enough to really practice it. It's easy to fall out of balance, you know. I'm off topic a little bit.
No, but it's a good point, because Sifu is really good at calling an intention far before you know that intention. So he'll be like, ah, this is really bad, you should bow to Hell Bodhisattva. And you're like, oh, I think that's a bit much. You know, but then later...
I was only thinking it.
Yeah, later you reflect back and it's like, how did he see that intention appear? You know what I mean? He can actually see that as a seed already start to appear before it like pops in our face and we're like, oh, that's a weed, I should get rid of it. So he can actually do that. We're lucky to have him practice that for so many years with us. But to do that for others, much more difficult. And still for ourselves, even much more difficult. But I think I've got to segue into the fourth one.
Oh, go for it.
So that observing all the causation takes time. It takes a lot of time. Because where those ripples, like GD was saying, go out to, it touches a lot of life. In fact, that connects to every other part of life. So that's why we say the fourth one is all the other direct and indirect causes. So we have three that we can kind of narrow down. Main cause, main supporting cause, and timing. But there's many other direct and indirect causes. So the distance Earth is from the sun. If that distance wasn't there, there's no planet, there's no life, there's no one can learn wisdom. Maybe you want to learn wisdom, you have a main supporting cause, you've got the right time, no planet.
But you go home with some lovely parting gifts.
Yeah.
Unbelievable amounts of suffering to observe.
Yeah.
Are yours.
And that's kind of like ridiculous when you think about it, but actually we kind of rely on the planet being there and us being on the planet. Yeah. If planet here and we out in space, that's not so good either. So it's like, that's important. And that's when you have to connect all that together and go, wow, the chances of us actually learning wisdom at this time from this person, you know what I mean? Is so, so tiny. You're like, oh, this is really awesome. I feel really lucky.
And within those four components, that is a perfect way to explain every moment, cause and effect, existing, being. No beginning, no end. Like a circle, it just keeps rolling. And it's been rolling and rolling all this time, and it's led us to where we are now. And if we want to control where we're going to end up in 50 more years, we need to start observing it and guiding it. Otherwise, we have suffering that we didn't mean to create, that we accidentally create. And we've all got it. How many people have got injuries or problems they're trying to fix in their life? Yeah, me too. We've all got them, right? And we didn't mean to create it, but we accidentally created it. And if I told you, here's a little time machine, you can go back in time and undo that, you'd do it, right?
yeah, I'd avoid that injury for sure.
Go back and tell me not to do that in that moment. Boom, problem solved. No, no injury.
Just take my wallet away from me now. I'll give it back to me in a few hours.
But the crazy thing about life is every moment is eternally gone. You can't take that moment back. So we get given X amount of time on the earth. Might be 100 years, might be 80 years. Most of us are like rounding the heart, nearing the back end of the first third, maybe the first half. Right?
I'll go first third.
I'll go first third.
I'm halfway.
I'll plan on living to 120, by the way.
Yeah, nice.
Anyway, so we have that much time on the earth, right? We're going to spend that much of it sleeping, that much of it working, that much of it doing chores. And then we got this much, and we probably...
That bit's Netflix.
Netflix and chill, socialise, cooking food,
traffic,
nights out, hitting the piss, getting loose.
Wow, there's not much there.
Ooh, I got a tiny little bit to play with. And in that amount of time, if we don't concentrate and dedicate it to something we really value, we spread it out and it's gone. And then you're left, at the end of your life, you're like, should have paid more attention to that thing I really valued. And that regret feeling, that's a horrible feeling. You ever had regret, real bad regret? You wish you could take something back and you can't? It's not a nice feeling. And mostly it's only over little things. Imagine it over something big, like how you spent the last 100 years of your life. And I imagine how you'd feel if you were like diagnosed with some sickness you can't take back, how much you would regret and want to take back. And I try and reobserve my life from that perspective now while I can make decisions. Well, I can make changes. It's cool exercise. Go home and do it. You don't have to do it here because I demand tears. Oh, let's see real tears. But yeah, and that's what we do. We go from this creates suffering, so then I do that. Or this puts me in a bad mood and then I do that. So some people are like, oh, I was in a bad mood. I didn't want to come to class. It's like, you didn't come to the class that's there to help you observe and control your bad mood. You didn't come and learn that because you were in a... Do you see the irony there? I had a bad day. I felt crap. I didn't come and learn how to release suffering. You're like... But that's what we... It's so normal to us, you know? We fall into that. It's amazing. So, you now have... In this world of constantly changing illusion, you now have one thing you can rely on. One constant. And that is... The fact that life is cause and effect. No matter whether you're on this planet, an alien planet, you go to another universe, it will still operate through cause and effect. It'll be a different material, it'll be different energy, it'll be made to look totally different, but it'll still be through cause and effect. And the way you'll involve in cause and effect is through your main cause intention and main supporting causes and timing and all the direct and indirect causes that led to that moment. You now have one piece of one gem of wisdom to take with you.